I couldn't begin to tell you how much I love you all and thank you, appreciate you, enjoy ministering to you. I don't know, words can't express how much I appreciate all of you. Not just one of you, but every single one of you. And I love you, and I know my wife loves you. We like to serve with you and everything like that. You know, even though that we love you so much, God loves you more. And I think about the earthly reasons that God loves us, you know, to come and die for us that we might have life. I want to talk about that love this morning. I want to tell you simply about a love story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, if you'll turn in your Bibles to John 3:16, I know you know that verse of Scripture by heart. You should. I want to start with verse 13 and look a little bit back. In John chapter 3, start with verse 13. It says, "No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then it's this passage of Scripture that we all know. Let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for sending your Son into the world. God, show us today just how much you love us. Lord, that we might return that love to you. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I believe I've told this many times, but I'm going to tell you again. Some of you probably hadn't heard it. And I can't remember when I told it last. So, you know, when you can't remember when you told something, you might tell it again. And probably you don't remember it because you're like me, you forget. But this young man, he had a darling sweetheart. He loved that girl, and he kept thinking about the girl. And he said, "Daddy, do you believe in love at first sight?" He said, "Well, I don't know about that, son, but it's a lot cheaper that way." And he said, "Well, Father," he says, "you know, I've been thinking about this girl, and I think I want to marry her." Now, I don't know if any of y'all are that ready for that or not, but I want you to think about that. And then they were out on a date, and he was a godly young man. He was praying about it, and he said, "Father, Father, up above, shall I kiss this girl I love?" The answer came, "Sinner, sinner, down below, pucker up and let her go." I thank God that he loves us. I think of the old story about the man that went off to, they left the job and left his home, and him and his wife took off to the missionary field, and they worked down in Mexico, down there being a missionary. The man left riches here to go off, and he knew his wife loved him, but they were going to a place that didn't have a nice home, didn't have the air conditions and things like that, no more nice going shopping and things like that. He couldn't give her those things anymore. And he wondered, "How in the world can I show my wife I love her since I can't buy her anything anymore and do these kind of things? I have nothing to give her." She never complained. She worked hard right along beside him. But he was thinking about, "What can I do to show her I love her. And then the thought came to him, you know, I don't have anything to give her besides the love of God. And he said, what I'll do for her is I'll give her myself. One day a week, I'll take time just to be with her. Because, you know, he knew that if he neglected to show her that love may fail, you see. We don't need to neglect the love that we have for someone. Well, the Bible says God so loved you and I. Man, that's the gospel in a nutshell right there. God so loved the world. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. God so loved you that he gave his son. The greatest gift anyone could ever give. God so loved you. And as I thought about that, and I listened to those songs that was being sung, grace, grace, God's grace, greater than, you know. Man, to send his son, shouldn't I love God? You know, sometimes I think as people, we put God way out yonder, you see. Way out there. He's way out there. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing. We invent those big words for God. When Jesus says, no, I call him Father. I call him Daddy. And I think about my dad. You know, my father was one of these guys that I guess he spent more time with his boys. He spent time doing with us, carrying us hunting, carrying us fishing, going on vacations. Oh, he was strict, just like God is. But I never doubted his love for us because he gave us something that money couldn't buy. He gave us himself, you see. He was always there for us. And Jesus called his Father Almighty God, creator of everything, Daddy. Now, not a daddy like some of you and I are, but a perfect daddy. A Father in heaven who never makes a mistake. Think about that. I know my father made a lot of mistakes in life, and he regretted some of those mistakes. But yet, you know, our Father in heaven never makes a mistake. He always loves us, you see. He's going to always love us. He said, you know, I love you so much that I sent my son to die for you. What else could I do to show you that love? He gives us all his time. He said, I'm never away from you. I'm always close to you. Never will I forsake you. So I know that he gives me all his time. Wherever I am, wherever I go, whatever's happening at the moment in my life, God is there. You see? So you think about that kind of love this morning. No matter what you're facing today, God knows it, and he loves you, and he's there by you. He'll never leave you. He will help you through that, and he will bring you through that. Praise God. I think of a father. You know, he forgives us. Oh, there's some things I did as a kid I didn't think I'd ever get forgiveness for, but, you know, Daddy forgave us. He also punished us, but he forgave us. When you sin in life, let me tell you something. The Bible says there's consequences to sin. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. But you know what? God will forgive you. So no matter what you've done today, God will forgive you. Because that's our God. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. Not only that, I know as a father, he's always willing to help us. Amen? He's always willing to help us. Boy, he helped me all through my life. I can see, look back at my life, and I can see how God has brought me through these things. Not only that, God encourages us. I believe He encourages us each day. I just asked Him this morning. I said, Lord, I need some encouragement today. You know, we get up. I tell you what, this morning I woke up about 2:40. I believe it was 2:43 on our alarm clock. And I had one of the worst headaches I believe I've had in a long time. It was just hurting all over, throbbing. You know how you get one of these things that just throb. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to make it today, Lord, if you don't do something. And my first thought was call one of these preachers and say, hey, listen, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it today. But I laid there, and 3 o'clock came along, 4 o'clock came along, 5, and then finally I got up at 6, and I went down, and I took a headache pill, and I said, Lord, let this thing go away because I'm going to church. And He let it go away. And I thank God that He's there to help, you know. You just got to keep going. He's there. And I said, Lord, I need that encouragement. And Jesus said this, greater love hath no man than someone lay down his life, than a man lay down his life for a friend. And folks, that's how much God loved us. And then Jesus told one of those intellectual people who knew everything, his name was Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have eternal life, you've got to be born again. And He told Nicodemus, He said, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. That's at the end of that passage. If you go back and read chapter 3, it starts out with a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a man high in authority. I believe he's it says everything about him. He knew the law. He knew the things to do and to keep. But he was one of these religious intellectuals. And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be born again. And then He told him how. And then He told him why. He said, for God so loved you, Nicodemus. And you know, I put my name in there many a times. For God so loved you, Byron Jones. Did y'all know my name was Byron Jones? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This happened on the phone this morning. Man called me and said, I said, hello, Brother Booney's here. Brother Booney, would you tell the pastor? He said, I was trying to call the pastor. And I said, you got him. He said, no, I got Brother Booney. And this Brother Booney? And I said, yeah, it is Brother Booney. He said, well, I was trying to call the pastor. And I said, I am the pastor. Now, that's a true story. That happened this morning before prayer meeting. And he said, I thought Byron Jones was the pastor. I've known this guy for over 20 years. That's the problem. Now, that actually happened, folks. I'm not telling you one. And he said, all this time I've been thinking you was just a pastor, but you wasn't a senior pastor. The senior pastor, Byron Jones. I said, you don't come to church much, do you? He said, no, I've never been to your church. I've just known you all these years. People call you Brother Booney. And I said, that's the same person. Boy, I tell you, I put Byron Jones in there and I said, Lord, Booney is my name too. But God so loved Booney or Byron Jones or whoever, your name. God so loved you. That's a love story, isn't it? That He gave His only begotten Son. You see, Jesus said, I didn't come to the earth to condemn you. I came to save you. Because we're condemned already, the Bible says. Right below this, I believe the passage of Scripture says, we are condemned already. Look at what it says. For God did not send His Son, in 17, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's the reason He came. We were under condemnation. Look at what it says. For he who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. We're already condemned. If you do not trust Jesus Christ, if you do not accept the gift of God's Son, that he loved so much that he gave for you, sent for you to die on the cross. If you do not accept that, the Bible says you're condemned already. Condemned to what? Condemned to eternal death in a place called hell. That's what it says, folks. But why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see? That's the reason Jesus came. You know what? I was thinking about a man called Paul. Paul, he did just about everything rotten a person could do. But God so loved him that on that Damascus road, he called him to be one of his preachers, see? One of the greatest preachers, one of the biblical writers we have. And you know what Paul said? Paul said, you know, I see that God so loved me so much, even after all the rotten things I did, he loved me so much that for me to live now is Christ. In other words, I'm going to live for Christ. And to die, well, that's gain for me because I know something better is waiting for me. That's Paul. And he said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. What do you want me to do for you? I like it over in Acts, I believe it's 6, chapter 6, verse 3 or 4. The people said, Lord, what shall we do for you? You know, we don't have a lot to give the Lord, do we? We can't. He's got it all. He owns this world. He owns everything in the world. The Bible says nothing was made that wasn't made but by Christ. He owns all, everything. So what do we have to give him? All we can do is give him ourselves, can't we? Give him ourselves. Paul said to live as Christ. And he said, my greatest goal in life is to be like Jesus Christ, for that is what the Father wants me to be. He wants me to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus. And folks, I know you're like me. We have a hard time loving some people, don't we? But God says we need to love people. We need to love people like God loved us. And that's my goal, is to continue to be like Jesus, to strive to love people everywhere I go. And if I love people, you know what? I don't want them to die and go to hell. I want to pull them from those flames. So I'm going to be telling them the Great Commission. I'm going to be telling them about Jesus Christ and how much he loved us. And you start right here in John 3:16. About God. Peter said, praise be to God because he has given us a whole new life in Christ Jesus. Man, you know, when I was saved, I was born again, I begin a whole new life. I am a new person in Jesus Christ. Now, I still have some old sin nature there. But you know what? You have to die daily to that old sin nature. Do I do that? No, every once in a while, I don't die to it. I mess up and sin. And the Bible says if we sin, God's made a way. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's there interceding for us. And we can say, Father, you know, I have sinned. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You see, we must not let the love of Jesus Christ for us dwindle in our lives, folks. That's what I've been trying to get over to people in our church. If we love Jesus, we need to serve Jesus. We need to give him every portion of our life, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. We live for Jesus Christ and him alone. You see, that's what we need to do. If you love something, if you love your wife, like the missionary said, I can give her myself. I can spend a day with her. I can help her. I won't let that love grow cold. So Jesus Christ is our Father. He loves us so much. So ask ourselves, what can we do? Well, on the first day of the week, Jesus came out of the grave. You know what? On the first day of the week, he met with his apostles in the upper room. Pentecost happened, and God empowered his church. God empowered his people with that glorious power of the Holy Spirit in their life, and he filled them with a love, and he started working through his people. And you know what they call that day? They call it the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day. Now, I realize that every day is the Lord's Day, but this is the Lord's Day. This is the day we set aside just to give praise and worship to God. This is Sunday. That day they call the Lord's Day. I believe it's His day. We ought to honor it. The Bible says, and keep the day holy. We ought to sacrifice on that day. We ought to put God first on that day above all. And you know what? I am surprised that the people that say we love God, that He died for, and they say we love Jesus more than anything, we'll sing songs about Jesus. When it comes to getting to the house on the Lord's Day, we just don't do it. Now, we got a good crowd in here today. It should be like this every single Sunday. Amen? Now, that's the way it should be. On Sunday morning, you know, we ought to get up, thank God for a father that didn't say, Booney, you want to go to church this morning? He said, get up, boys. We're going to church. You didn't argue with Daddy. You just got up and go to church. Thank God for a father like that, that loved us enough to set an example. You know, this is the Lord's Day. And what a wonderful gift it is. When we give God our time, when we give God our lives, when we give God our day. Now think about that. Giving God a day. That's a special day, isn't it? After all, He gave us eternal life. After all, He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift. Let's give God His day. Make that commitment in your heart this year. I'm going to give God every Sunday. Now, you know, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning, folks. I'm talking about a real commitment to give God all day Sunday. You set aside time that I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be at church on Sunday night. You're going to hear me harping on this till God comes back, because, folks, I believe we're in the end of time. And I don't want you to be left behind. I want you, the Bible says, when He comes, to be found faithful. Faithful. And if you will set aside the time to say, okay, I'm giving God this day, you will start giving Him Sunday. You'll give Him Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Your faith will grow in Him. Your love will grow for Him. And guess what? You'll finally realize you're giving God every day of your life. You see? Because that's what He wants every single day. It doesn't mean you have to sit down and go to church every day. It simply means as you go through the day, God's going to do His will in your life. You're going to realize His presence in your life. Oh, it's wonderful to just realize His presence in your life. Now, I know today when we're fast and furious, aren't we? We go, go, go. We are always going. Oh, I know churches that have closed their doors on Sunday night. They've closed their doors on Wednesday night. We're in a hurry today. I've heard of churches, I heard of church, y'all probably heard that too, where they had it like a drive-in. You could just pull up and listen to the sermon while you sit in your car and take off. Man, is that giving God your time? People say, well, I don't like to dress up on Sunday. Well, we don't dress up here. But, you know, why not? Wouldn't you dress up for your wife if she's going on a date with the boys or girl? Well, girl, you dress up to go to the prom, you dress up here. Why not give God a day? Just say, God, I'm going to give you this day. You see? Why? Because I love you, God. I love you, and I want to show that love to you just like I would show it to my wife. You see, we're so hurried we can't even express how much we love Him. Well, I wonder sometimes if these people that run to church and jump out of church even before the preacher gets through preaching and take off, you know, to get to the restaurant, you know, is that really love for God if you can't sit there and listen all the way through the message? You know, going to a... Of course, I don't preach much longer than 20 minutes. We don't meet all day here at church, but if I preach 20 minutes and you run out of here without going to Bible study, we're so big a hurry we can't even go to Bible study. That would be kind of like going to a baseball game and watching the first batter and then decide to go home. How many of you going to do that? Or how many of you want to go to a football game and watch the halftime and take off? You see, you love something, you're going to spend time with it. You see? And I believe when you love God, you're going to give Him a day. God loves us. And I think of His life that He sent His Son to die. I think of all He went through on that cross. The Bible says He was lifted up. You know, on that cross, I think about all the weight of the sin of the world upon His shoulders, the innocent becoming sin for us. Nobody likes to be accused falsely, do we? You don't like to be blamed for something you didn't do. Jesus was. He was blamed for something He didn't do. But yet He went through it. He went on to the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before Him. You see? Because He loved you so much, He took it all. And you know what? He took that sin upon His shoulders and He died so that you might not have to. Now, when you think of it that way, folks, He died so you might not have to. I don't know about you, but with all the tragedies going on and things, when I see a fireman rush into a burning building to pull out an innocent or a person that was in there was going to die in that flame because they inhaled too much smoke, and that fireman goes in and he doesn't come out, he's given his life for that one. I think, man, that's a man that loved people. Willing to sacrifice his life for someone maybe he didn't even know. That's what Christ did for you. You see? He sacrificed His life. And I think of all the times that I have fallen and He's been there to pick me up and put my feet back on a solid rock and said, Booney, you're forgiven. Go preach my word. Go tell people about Jesus. And He never throws those sins up to me in my face anymore. The Bible says He throws them into the sea of His forgetfulness. And He won't bring them back up. Some people always tell me, say, well, preacher, those sins keep popping up in my mind. Let me tell you something. It's not God that's bringing them up. It's the old devil. He'll bring them up through you and he'll say, you remember when you did this? You remember when you did that? I just say, devil, get behind me, because God has already cleaned me from all of that. I ask Him to. Well, how do you know He's forgiven you? The Bible says He will. I believe the Bible. And when He says, I will count your sins no more, they're forgotten, they're forgiven. That's God's word. He's not going to bring them up to you. He's forgiven you for those things. And think of all the times that we need forgiveness. For God so loved you. Ask yourself this morning, what can I do to show God that I love Him? What can I do? I have no great amount of money to give Him. You know, He don't want my money. Well, preacher, I don't have anything that I can, a talent that I can use at church. That's not what He requires. He doesn't want a lavish gift. You know, I think what hurts parents more than anything is when you pour out your life into your children and then they don't even come to see them. Or they don't say thank you. Why? They're not wanting a big gift or anything. They're just wanting that child to say, you know, we appreciate you. We love you back. You see? Maybe there's some small thing that we can give in a great way. And it is a very small thing that we can give in a great way. We can give God our life. We can give God a day. We can give God our time this morning. You can give that to God, you see. And we know that He is always with us every day. All our days are His if we give our life to Him. But let there be a special day. Let it be the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Make a commitment to yourself. Lord, I want to give You my life. I want to give You my time, and I want to give You a day of my life every Sunday. Be in the Lord's house. Study His Word. You've got the time. If you really love Him, you ought to do that. Lord, this will be Your day. I thought about that this morning. I really felt bad. I thought, you know, I can probably just call Brother Jay or Brother Richard or Brother Bill, or I could probably even call Teddy. And I could say, listen, I don't feel good today. Would y'all take over? And they would have took over. But I said, no, Lord, You give me this day. I'm going to go. And you know what? One of our men said, I prayed for you this morning about 7 o'clock. I thought, praise the Lord. I needed it about 7 o'clock because I was fighting a battle whether I should stay at home or come. Stay at home or come. And I came. And you know what? When we learn how to give God His day, you'll learn how to receive His love every day. Let me tell you how you can come to Christ. Let's go back to that little old poem I said. Father, Father, up above, how can I receive Your great love? He would say, sinner, sinner, down below, step out in faith, and then it'll show. Would you come? Would you give the Lord His day? If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, He came to die for you that you might have eternal life. But you've got to step out by faith and receive it. And then it'll show in your life. That's how you receive Christ. You, by faith, realize that you're lost, you need a sinner, you need a Savior, and God is that Savior. And you're the sinner, and He'll come into your life and give you eternal life. That's simple, isn't it? Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been saved. But you're one of these Christians that, well, I go Sunday morning, maybe I go once a week, maybe I give God maybe 30 minutes or an hour, and then I'm back home. Why don't you make a commitment to give God the whole day? It won't kill you. And I guarantee you, your faith will begin to grow. Your love will begin to grow for God. Because you've started doing that. And you'll realize before long that, you know what? I really do love God. I really want His presence in my life. But you got to give Him that day, every day. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a visitor, or you don't have a church home somewhere and you want to join in with our church. Here's how you join. The Bible tells us that if we're saved, we're part of the body of Christ. If you want to come into our church, if you've been baptized by immersion, then you can join in with this church by letter or by statement. You've been in another denomination, and people always wonder why, but if you've been in another denomination and you were sprinkled, well, let me tell you, that's not baptism. That's not baptism. But maybe you was, somebody tells me, well, I was baptized as a baby. That's not right either. You've got to be saved before you're baptized. And folks, if you want to join the church and God has led you here, you won't have a problem from another denomination to come and be rebaptized, if that's what they call it. But you won't have a problem with that. If you want to give God a day and you want to join with his church, you come. And I'll be glad to go through those steps and share them with you. Brother Jay or Brother Bill or someone will share that with you. And we'll love you and pray for you. And God will bless you because you've been obedient to what he says do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you loved us so much. And God, if there's someone here that doesn't realize that, Lord, make it aware in their life that you came for them. And Lord, I pray that they will come and be a part of the kingdom of God. By faith, they'll simply trust you like a little baby and start that walk of faith with you. Heavenly Father, if there's people here that need to get their life right, the altar's open, they can come and just kneel and get their life right and give you every day. Show their love to you by coming. And then, Lord, if there's those there that are visiting and they want to join this church, God, let them come. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.